The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 7 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Hannah Sabrin. Here are today's headlines. A teenager was killed in a schoolyard. Daycare workers reject the government's latest offer. And family businesses are in trouble. A 16-year-old boy was fatally stabbed in Côte des Neiges last night. The attack happened outside of Coronation Elementary School. This morning, the boy died from his injuries at the hospital. Sarah Dixon joins us from the crime scene. Sarah, what is happening outside the school this morning?
The school area is actually pretty quiet this morning. Both the Coronation Elementary School as well as the high school that the boy attended have canceled classes today, but it has been confirmed that those classes will be back tomorrow. Outside the front door, a colorful poster decorated with flowers and a peace sign has been put up, and it reads, "Pas de violence, parlez pour la paix," or "No violence, speak for peace."
Does Côte des Neiges have a high crime rate?
Even though this is the 25th homicide on the island of Montreal this year, people in the area were still pretty shocked by the news, especially in someone so young. Juan Rodriguez lives nearby. He had heard about the stabbing last night from his wife, who had passed the scene on the way to the metro station.
Definitely not common, because this has always been a very quiet neighborhood.
Jack Nathanson is another resident who lives in the area. He had a similar reaction.
You'll hear bits and pieces all over the place, but the Côte des Neiges borough is very large, and it's sort of like, so you don't hear too much around here once in a while, but not that common.
So have police made any arrests?
The police have made no arrests so far. The stabbing happened after a fight had broken out between a group of boys. So they are looking for three suspects between the ages of 16 to 19 who were involved in that fight. And they were seen fleeing the scene on foot. The perimeter that was set up around the school has been taken down, but the investigation is still ongoing, with the hopes that video surveillance will provide the answers to this homicide.
Thank you, Sarah. At 11 p.m. last night, two guards were attacked during an armed robbery. It happened in Park Extension on Jean Talon Street. The guards were filling an armored vehicle with money when they were shot at and pepper sprayed. The guards suffered minor injuries and were treated by paramedics on the scene. The robbers were last seen throwing bags of money into their vehicle. Police investigate the case. Premier Legault will deliver an inaugural speech before the National Assembly this afternoon. This address comes a year ahead of the next provincial election. Yet, Legault has already announced his decision to discontinue Quebec's 42nd legislature. Kathleen Gagnon discusses the significance of this move with analyst Ethan Cox.
As with all of these kind of speeches, it's an opportunity for the government to indicate the direction it plans to go on the things that it plans to get accomplished in the near future. So it's largely symbolic, but it has some significance in terms of telegraphing the direction of government.
He further promises that the entire government will be mobilized to change what needs to be changed. What do you think Legault wants to tackle with these plans moving forward?
Well, I think Legault wants to secure his re-election by being a populist. It's a tried and true tactic in Quebec, that you try and stir things up on the language and identity and culture front to kind of distract from more significant issues. And I think that's, again, what this government is trying to do is go back to the well of that soft nationalist populism that has served them so well in the past, and keep people focused on that rather than more concrete issues where they might be likely to blame the government for its failures or its inaction.
And considering that a new session allows Legault to drop the outstanding bills altogether, how does this upend the legislature's progress to this point?
Well, I mean, it always does. you know, I think it's always frustrating when there's an unnecessary end to a parliamentary session, which results in bills that have been worked on and advanced to a certain stage dying. So it's not uncommon, but it certainly erases a lot of work that's been done.
Lastly, Legault has already announced that Bill 39 related to electoral reform would not be carried over to the new session. What are the implications of cutting that specific legislature?
Well, I think, you know, we see that legislation deals with proportional representation, which the CAQ claimed to be in favor of before their election. And we now see the transformation being complete. It's the same thing with the Liberals at the federal level. Once a party is able to actually form a government in a first-past-the-post system, electoral reform and proportional representation are not as appealing. So we've seen this before, and we'll see it again, where when a party makes it into government, their appetite for electoral reform suddenly diminishes.
That was Kathleen Gannon speaking with political analyst Ethan Cox. Today, the National Assembly starts up again. In a video posted yesterday, Legault hinted at what his vision is for the new parliament. But today, we heard from his opposition. They disagree on the priorities Legault outlined. Brianna Sherman is here to tell us more. So Brianna, what did the Liberals have to say about Legault's goals for this new session?
Dominique Anglade was really not impressed with Legault, especially with the Facebook video he posted yesterday, claiming that it was really vague and there wasn't much detail. It said that they needed change, but there was no mention of what change or how that change would be made. The video was also funded by the government of Quebec, which Anglade said she doesn't think is a good use of public money. A big reason Anglade cites as to why things aren't going to change is because Legault has never really been one to listen.
Everything that he does, he doesn't sit down with people to listen to people. And people have to be listened to. I haven't seen the premier sitting down with the teachers. I haven't seen François Legault sitting down with the nurses. I haven't seen him sitting down with the entrepreneurs. He's making decisions in his office without consulting people.
Anglade also criticized Legault for his lack of attention to the environment. What were some of the points that she made?
She explained that in the coming months, people will see two opposing visions forming, one that prioritizes the environment and one that doesn't. She stated that climate change is at the top of her party's list of priorities. Even in the preview of the speech, there was no mention of the environment, and we couldn't sense that it was a pressing issue for Legault.
298 words in that video, zero time the word environment. Zero time the word education. So I'll see what is in terms of priority, what he has to say.
Paul Saint-Pierre Plamondon, the leader of the Parti Québécois, also criticized Legault on his actions or lack thereof. What were his concerns?
He cited a lack of vision, a lack of courage and coherence, and that's why we haven't really seen any fundamental change. We've had the same problems for the past 3 years, so how can we expect this sort of fresh start that Legault is referring to? Problems like daycare, climate change, language, housing, they haven't been being dealt with.
Quebecers are poorer now than they were 3 years ago because the food is more expensive, the gas is more expensive, the electricity is more expensive, housing, everything is more expensive, and they haven't done anything about it.
We will hear from Legault this afternoon at 2. After this morning, it's apparent that the opposition has low expectations.
Thank you, Brianna. Daycare unions across the province ask the government for help. Multiple strikes are planned. Daycare workers want better salaries, funding, and working hours. Véronique Marin has the story.
95% of the members of the Daycare Workers Federation are against the latest proposition proposed by the government for their collective agreement. Mathieu Morin, the spokesperson for the union, explains that the current proposition includes an increase of working hours to 40 hours per week. Right now, the normal week is 35 hours.
We have special need kids who take a lot of attention, so we cannot go to 40 hours. That's the message of our member to the government.
On the other side, daycare workers from the Service Employees Union are on a 2-day strike. Jennifer Genet is the vice president for the union. She explains that the inequality in salaries for administration and other support workers is the main cause.
Educators in daycares are paid much less than educators in schools or in hospitals, meaning that educators in daycares are leaving in big numbers.
Non-subsidized daycares will also be on strike tomorrow. They are asking for more equality in the daycare network all over the province. David Adawi, president of Non-Subsidized Daycares Association, explains that they are demanding better salaries for their workers, help with labor shortage, and better fees for the parents. Adawi believes it is time for the government to take action. All Quebec populations are screaming against this injustice. It is not normal that some people pay $40 or $45 a day when others are paying $8.50. While different daycare associations are currently pressuring the government, the Daycare Workers Federation has negotiations with them on Thursday. Véronique Morin for Concordia News in Montreal.
Frustrated with their working conditions, SAQ warehouse and delivery workers voted to apply pressure tactics, including a potential strike. If this strike happens, it will have a major impact on the restaurant and bar industry. Here's Margaret Doviak with more on the story.
As of yet, negotiations are still going on. A decision to strike hasn't been made. The main reason for the would-be strike is poor working conditions. Overtime is a particularly big problem, according to Michel Graton, a union representative for the Canadian Union of Public Employees.
It's too much overtime every day. They risk their own healthness because they work really hard and we do a lot of overtime.
SAQ workers going on strike will have huge province-wide impacts because SAQ supplies alcohol to local businesses.
Everyone in Quebec is going to be touched by this.
A potential strike is bad news for restaurants and bars struggling with the pandemic, according to Charles Landry, owner of Taverne Midway Montreal.
For sure, right now, even with no strikes, we have problem getting alcohol from the ACQ just because COVID have impact all the deliveries.
A potential strike will have two main impacts on restaurants and bars, according to Landry.
But for us, for sure, it's going to impact in two different ways, which is loss of time and shortage in our stocks.
Griff Doviak and NDG for Concordia News.
Today at Le Château Frontenac, the second provincial immigration summit takes place. Ministers and experts will speak about immigration challenges. They will talk about how social programs can better support immigrants, temporary agricultural workers, and refugees. Talks about how the pandemic's impacts immigration and the integration of Francophone immigrants will also take place. This all-day event is organized by Pro-Immigrant Quebec. The children of small business owners do not want to continue their businesses. While many of these owners want to keep companies in the family, most will need to sell their restaurants and stores upon retirement. Here's Curtis Savage with more on the story.
It is estimated that 60% of family enterprises will be passed down within the next decade, according to a report by Family Enterprise Foundation. Bill Bruchette, the CEO for this organization, believes that there is often two sides to the transition in ownership.
There's always a reluctance. So there's, of course, two sides to the readiness. You know, are the next generation ready, and are the current generation ready to let go?
Danny Schalfman, the oldest son in the Fairmont bagel business, believes that family-run businesses are also important to the work staff.
I mean, if the family is a closely tight-knit unit, then, you know, you're a very powerful business because, you know, there's somebody in the business who's always involved, always caring about what's going on the floor. And
most of the study group maintains that they prefer family to take over their business, but this is not what the stats suggest. Despite this, Bruchette says that family companies are important to the city.
We believe family-owned businesses are so important, not only from a business perspective, probably even more so from a community, society perspective. Family-owned businesses, you know, have heart and soul that you don't see in all corporations and all businesses.
This is Curtis Savage, reporting for Concordia News.
Since the pandemic, those afflicted by heart disease get worse health care. The Heart and Stroke Foundation attributes this issue to overcrowded emergency rooms. 9 in 10 Canadian health professionals say patients must wait longer periods to get their diagnoses. While they wait, they get sicker and doctors find it harder to treat patients. Hospitals do not know how long it will take to recover from these delays. A famous hip-hop artist changes his name. The Oscars CEO retires, and a charity organization refuses a celebrity donation. Here's Abigail Jersey with all of your arts news.
Are you ready? Ooh, I know you see me standing here.
Britney Spears' sister and former Nickelodeon star Jamie Lynn Spears planned to donate some proceeds from her new book to a mental health organization. People are assuming her memoir is a tell-all about her sister and are not happy. After the organization received violent threats if they accepted her donation, they declined the offer. Former child star Aaron Carter's DUI case from 4 years ago is finally closed, and he gets by with no jail time for reckless driving if he completes community service and complies during his 12-month probation.
Yes! Cynthia Erivo is here tonight! Cynthia did such a great job in Harriet hiding black people that the Academy got her to hide all the black nominees!
After the last few years of controversy around representation during her time as the Oscars boss, Dawn Hudson, Academy of Motion Pictures and Arts and Science CEO, revealed she will be stepping down from her position after this term to explore different opportunities.
I miss the old Kanye, straight from the gold Kanye, chop up the soul Kanye, set on his goals Kanye. I hate
that was the artist
Kanye,
formerly known as Kanye West, who is officially dropping the Con and the West and will just be going by Ye now. He filed the request in August, and a Los Angeles judge officially granted the name change. Ye. That's all for arts today.
Thanks, Abigail. Squid Game is a Netflix drama about a game show where contestants fight to the death. For the month of October, Montrealers can play the game, but without the fear of death. Squid Game participants are challenged with a scavenger hunt, peppered with riddles and physical challenges. At the end of each game, one person will win a cash prize. Grab your coats, gloves, and scarves. Cool weather sweeps into Montreal this week. Expect lows of 3 degrees and highs in the mid-10s. Today, it is overcast with a high of 13 degrees. That's your news until 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Hannah Sabrin.